Good morning. Good morning, Grace Christian Church family. We're glad you're with us this morning. My name is Pastor Rob Parlante. I'm the pastor here at Grace Christian Church, and we're streaming live from my home in Monmouth County, New Jersey. Amen. And it's been many, many weeks. I think we're up to about 45 weeks now, but you know what? We're praying the Lord will open up an avenue to get back in our building, Manalapan Community Center. Hopefully, in the next couple of months, now that the vaccination is becoming more available to the public. Amen. So I'm going to preach a message this morning titled, Faithless Choices. Faithless Choices. And we're going to look at the life of Abraham, an Old Testament saint. We're going to scan through some passages on the scripture verses in Genesis. But the main verse we're going to look at is Genesis 18, 14. Okay. And I want to also mention all the notes for my messages are always on Facebook, sermon notes, and also published on our website, njgrace.org. And one last announcement. We have a Facebook page called Christ is Our Life Movement. And I encourage all those listening to me today to join the group and share it with your friends and people that you want to, you know, you maybe are interested in Christ, to learn about God's grace, learn about the new covenant, and learn about all the wonderful truths about our identity in Christ, our identification in Christ. They're posted there basically every day by the admins, and they're there for comments and conversation. Amen. So please go there and join at your leisure, hopefully this week. Amen. 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 So, you know, we entered into 2021, and now we're basically almost to the end of January, and I'm so thankful we're into a new year, and we're getting past 2020. What a tough year 2020 was. But you know, brothers and sisters, God has put on my heart, and he's put on our church's heart, to share the gospel with those who are lost, who don't know Christ. And God has put a burden on my heart to share with those who don't know him. You know, there is no hope, and really there is no security in any other thing than Jesus Christ, and understanding that and believing the gospel, brothers and sisters, because the gospel is really simple. It's Christ died for your sins and rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. And by belief in that, by faith in that, one has eternal life. Amen. The question, before I even start really this message today, is do you believe the gospel? Do you believe what Christ did for you? Do you believe he offers eternal life? But brothers and sisters, you know, our sinfulness, being born in Adam, means we're born separated from the life of God. We're born separated from spiritual life. And that's the condition of man. So one needs to understand that separation is by birth naturally. And there's only one way to change that, and that's by faith in the gospel, that spiritual life. Also, God loves you. John 3:16, no matter what, God loves you. No one needs to clean up their act or change some behavior to come to Christ. He loves you. Come as you are. Amen. Come as you are. You know, Christ died on the cross for your sins. You know, we commit a lot of sins in our life, and once we're saved, we're righteous. But prior to that, we've committed sins, and we commit sins, and those sins deserve death, the Bible says. Christ died in our place for those sins. Amen. He rose from the dead on the third day. Christ now is alive. He's not dead, not in the tomb. He is alive, sitting at the right hand of God. Amen. And also, he gives us life, which is eternal life, which is forgiveness of sins. Amen. That is the gospel message. But there's also another part of the gospel that we tend to not understand, and that is this. Christ, once we are saved, comes to live inside of every believer, brothers and sisters. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Colossians 1. 27 says this, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So salvation and eternal life is by putting our faith in the gospel message, but then after we're saved, it's by putting our faith and dependence on Christ who is in us, brothers and sisters. It's all about a choice. It's all about a choice and where we place our dependence, brothers and sisters. We are made right with God. And another term often used for being right with God and saved is being righteous. We are righteous by faith. And I want to talk about that right now. Romans 3:22 says this, even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. Brothers and sisters, righteousness is by faith in the gospel message. We don't have to do anything to become righteous besides having faith. We are righteous. We don't have to add to our righteousness. Nothing, sin doesn't subtract from our righteousness. We are righteous in God's eyes, meaning we are made right in His sight. And that's always been the case. It's been the case in the Old Covenant. It's been the case in the New Covenant. Because Abraham, it says in Romans 4:3, believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So the same faith that Abraham exercised in the Old Testament in Genesis and was declared righteous is the same faith looking towards the cross, is the same faith we have in the gospel message looking back to the cross. He believed God, he was credited righteousness. Amen. That's an awesome thing. It's such a great spiritual truth to be made right with God, to be made righteous with him by faith. Abraham was made right by faith. But here is the rub. Here is kind of the struggle we have as Christians. We believe the gospel. We pray at some point in our life to receive Christ. We're spiritually made alive, but we struggle. Because of this thing called, I want to talk a lot about this today, the flesh. The flesh. You know, the flesh is used different ways in the scriptures, and one means our physical body is one, but others is the definition of some type of pattern, maybe definition, a pattern of living that we develop, living independently of God. This thing called flesh, and we have this pattern, and we attempt in this pattern to get our needs met, of the core needs of man, love, acceptance, value, worth, and significance. Brothers and sisters, so in our lifetimes, before receiving him, we develop these flesh patterns, these patterns of trying to get our needs met in things. We attempt to, but they fail, brothers and sisters. And that failure leads us to Christ. But unfortunately, as we're saved, and we are saved, and we live the Christian life, this flesh pops up. We depend on it sometimes. We depend on it more often than not instead of depending on God. And here is the issue that we have with this thing called flesh. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another so that you might not do the things that you please. Brothers and sisters, the flesh, his desire is against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. So in other words, there's basically two choices which depend on our flesh or the spirit and or Christ in us. That's the choice we need to make every day. Now, we have flesh as a new covenant saint and an old covenant saint, Old Testament saint, saint of old, Abraham also had flesh. And I want to look at that today. I want to look at Abraham and his decisions, good and bad, where he depended on his flesh, his own resources, to work out his life and God's plan for his life, and in a way, bypassing, adding to, and changing God's promises that he made to him. And that's really all uncovered in Genesis 13 to 21, various verses. And I'm not going to go through every verse today, but I encourage you to read about the life of Abraham. He's a great, great example of a man who made good choices and bad choices. And we could see the consequences of some of those poor choices. So today I'm going to look at this. Thus, the title of my message called Faithless Choices. We're going to look at the life of Abraham. Amen. And I'm going to read a verse, main verse of Genesis 18:14, and then we're going to scan through the scriptures and look at his life and the decisions he made. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, go to Genesis 18:14. I'll read it and then I'll open this time in prayer. Verse 14, chapter 18, Genesis. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. So let's bow our heads, brothers and sisters, and let's pray that the Lord would open our eyes to these wonderful spiritual truths. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that we have your life as a Christian. We're so thankful we have your Spirit. We're so thankful we have eternal life. We're so thankful we have forgiveness of our sins. We're so thankful you live in us and the Holy Spirit is in us, and we can depend on that Spirit and you, Lord Jesus, to guide us through life and uncover errors in thinking. And you give us truth. You guide us into all truth. But I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts and minds to understand we have this thing called flesh. That you would go search our hearts and show us where we're depending, which is not you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would look at the life of Abraham today and see how he tried to add to your plan, and those were had many consequences that were negative in his life. I pray, Lord, you help us not to do that and depend on you. In Jesus, we love you. In your precious name, amen. Amen. So to understand Abraham's life, you know, there's a lot of information of him in Genesis, but we need to understand this thing called the Abrahamic covenant. Because God made a covenant, which is an agreement or a promise with Abraham. Now, I'm going to read a couple of verses about the covenant, and we'll talk about the covenant as kind of a background to his life and how he proceeded forward in his life. Genesis 15:4-5 says, the Abrahamic covenant, "Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this man will not be your heir, but the one who will come forth from your body, he shall be your heir. And he took him outside and said, now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you're able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be." So the Lord is saying there to Abraham, you're going to have descendants. And Abraham is saying, well, I'll use my slave as an heir. And he's saying, no, that won't be your heir. It'll be somebody who comes from your genes. And you will have as many descendants as the stars. Amen. That's what he's saying there. Genesis 15:18 talks about this area of land. He says, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. By the way, he was called Abram and then later on renamed Abraham. We can talk about that in a bit. "To your descendants, I will give this land from the river of Egypt as far as great river, the river Euphrates." So there's an area specifically that God promised Abraham and his descendants. Then if we go back to Genesis 15:6, it says, "Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness." So in other words, this covenant was made with Abraham. And there's more to it in all these chapters, but he will be made a great nation. He will be blessed. You know, his name will be made great. The families of the earth will all be blessed through him, and he will be given a specific land to inherit, brothers and sisters. Now, my view is that land has not been inherited yet, and that's in the future. And I believe, personally, and there's other opinions on this, that's coming during the millennial kingdom, amen, in the future. It has not happened yet. But brothers and sisters, this covenant was given to Abraham about 21 to 1800 BC. So that was around 4,000 years ago. So we're still waiting to see the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, amen. And I encourage you to read that on your own to get a better understanding. But that's not really what I want to go through so much today, the covenant. I'll just give you a background to it. But the covenant was given to Abraham. Now, most of the issues in his life were a lack of faith in the promise of God that he made to him in the covenant. And about the covenant. Because Abraham had this thing, like I said before, called flesh. It kicked in. And he made unfaithful choices. He made unfaithful choices because his flesh, in a sense, overpowered the Spirit or overpowered God's promises. Amen. And as a believer today, brothers and sisters, there are thousands and thousands of promises made to us in the Bible. 10,000, at least, made to us from the Scriptures. You know what? We, like Abraham, have the Word of God. We can see, he spoke to him verbally, but we have the Word of God that shows us all these promises. And we have the same issue he has. You know, we have the same choice to make. We can choose to believe in the promise. We can choose to rest in the promise. We can choose to wait on God to fulfill the promise, or we can choose our flesh as a way to get that need met or to fulfill or advert or add to that promise. So many thousands and thousands of verses of promises of God. You know, promises about our futures, promises about provision, promises about our families, promises about our eternity, promises about who we are in Christ. Wonderful verses, identity in Christ. Promises and facts and truths about our identification, being risen with Christ. All in the Bible, brothers and sisters, for you to see and read. Amen. But we have to make a choice to believe and depend. But you know what? Let's go back to Abraham now. Back to his choice, his faithless choice. The one big faithless choice. Mm-hmm. Amen. You know what? The timeline was God spoke to Abraham at that time and gave him the covenant, and he was 75 years old, and his wife Sarah was 65 years old. And again, I'll repeat what God told him. He said, and he took him outside and said, now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you're able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Okay, 75 years old, Sarah's 65 years old. Now, Abraham's thinking, wonderful. I'm going to have descendants as many as the stars. This God's wonderful covenant is going to come through my descendants, amen. We're going to inherit this land, amen. But now the clock starts ticking. Weeks go by, weeks go by, months go by, months go by, years go by, years go by, a decade goes by. Brothers and sisters, 11 years pass, no child. No child from Sarah. Now, he could say, how can I be the father of a great nation if I don't even have a child from my wife? We're up in age, but we believe God. But you know what? All of a sudden, they waver. Now, 11 years is a long time. And I think most of us probably would say, wow, you know, that's a long time to deal with this promise that wasn't being fulfilled yet. He was fatherless. So they came up and devised a plan. Now, the plan started with who? His wife. Sarai, before she was named Sarah, said to Abraham this. She devised a plan. And that was in Genesis 16:2. Sarai said to Abram, now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So let me stop there a second time out. God's plan and promise was given to Abraham, again, and he made that to his wife. Now they decided, Sarah decided, the Lord has prevented her from attaining and conceiving a child. Now, where did that come from? God didn't prevent her from conceiving a child. Somehow, the enemy, working through, and there's, believe me, brothers and sisters, we're in a spiritual war. There's demonic influences everywhere in the world. Put a thought in her mind, said, he is preventing me from conceiving. Similar to me, about Eve in the garden, where the devil says, God's preventing you, or he didn't say this or that, trying to deceive. She gets deceived thinking the Lord is preventing her from conceiving this child. Not true. Not true, brothers and sisters, but that's what she went. She depended on this thing called flesh, or her own resources, to carry out the promise, like many of us do. Yeah, I thought about something this week. I spoke to a brother who's a counselor in AA, and he's been doing it for 25 years. And he told me one of the biggest hurdles for getting somebody, for somebody to get help in the AA program is their understanding of this fact, that there is only one way to get hope, and that is through God. And he says he's seen it for 25 years. The evil one, demonic influences, the world, are influencing a person with an addiction to say there is no hope in God. But he said as soon as they realize there is hope in God, things start to change. And the desire starts to change. So I'll back up a second and say, Sarah devised a plan along with Abraham to bypass God's plan, and they devised their own plan. I call it their flesh plan. To have a child with the maidservant Hagar, and Sarah blamed God for her not getting pregnant, and Abraham agreed with the plan. So this is what he did. Genesis 16, 4, the beginning verse, part of that verse says, he went to Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, and when she did that, she had conceived. So, in other words, he didn't went along with the plan, and he conceived a child with the maidservant, Hagar. Now, she bore a son. His name was Ishmael. Now, his description of him is this. Genesis 16, 12. He would be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live to the east of all his brothers. Amen. So in other words, God's plan wasn't good enough. They conceived another plan, and unfortunately, or fortunately, how God worked it out, they conceived a child, and his name was Ishmael. Have you ever tried to bypass God's plan by adding something or to his promise for your life? Have you? You know what? God makes many, many promises to his children. You know, when we live on this earth, brothers and sisters, we need to follow and trust in those promises. Now, I'll give you an illustration for me personally. And I talked a lot about this through the years. You know, I, at one point, had gotten laid off from a job back in the mid-2000s. Amen. And it was a terrible time. But I ended up finally getting a position. I ended up finally getting a job. And I remember going for an interview, and I remember them making me an offer, and I remember coming home, and I accepted the offer. And I remember going to my wife and saying, you know, her first question to me was, what's your salary? And I said, it's X. And then she turned white as a ghost. And she said, how are we going to live on that money? It was about 30% less than what I was previously making. And I said, well, you know what, I have a plan. I know God provides, but I got my own plan. My flesh plan said, I'll take that position, but I'll keep looking for another job. At least I'd have some income coming in, and eventually I'll get back to my position of where I was before that job, my salary range. But guess what? Months went by. I looked for a position. I looked for a position. No luck. But the Lord did show me this, brothers and sisters, that I didn't need that extra money because he provided. Okay? My flesh was telling me God's provision wasn't good enough, but he was saying, Rob, look, it is good enough. I kept that job and the money I lived on and eventually got raises and got back up and have a good position. At this point, I'm still with the company 15, 16 years later, and my range is normal where it should be, like everybody else. Where we live, do we function and live here? But you know what? I felt my plan was better, and it added to God's plan. Just like Abraham and Sarah said the same thing. Their promise, I don't believe God will provide for me. I have to add to that. In addition to, my flesh kicked in. Boy, was I wrong. God showed me his provision and promise. This is all good. I was wrong. I tried to wiggle out of that position in that job with no success. I tried to make a faithless choice. It never came through. God never allowed it. But I can tell you this. In Abraham's case, in Sarah's case, they made a faithless choice and God allowed it to happen. And he does that sometimes in his purposes. And there's consequences to that decision that he experienced. And here they are. I'm going to read them. Family conflict and family division. And I'll tell you what and show you. Genesis 16, 5 to 6. And Sarah said to Abraham, may the wrong done me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me. But Abram said to Sarai, behold, your maid is in your power. Do to her what good is in your sight. So Sarai treated her harshly, and she fled from her presence. 16 of 4 for Genesis. Her mistress was despised in her sight. And if we jump ahead to 21, Genesis 9. Now Sarah saw that son of Hagar, the Egyptian, she had borne to Abraham, mocking. So let's kind of explain it. So there is division because of the decision. There is a conflict between Hagar, the maidservant, and Sarah. Amen. Terrible. They despised each other. Then let's look at ahead. Now we didn't say this, yes, but Isaac is born eventually, and Ishmael, who was born to Hagar, and Isaac, who's going to be born to Sarah, have conflict. They're mocking. Ishmael is mocking Isaac. So what we have here is family division because of a decision they made to bypass, advert, or add to the promise of God, which is the Abrahamic covenant made to Abraham and Sarah. All this could have been avoided, brothers and sisters, if they didn't make that decision, that faithless decision for Abraham to conceive a child with Hagar, the maidservant. You know, brothers and sisters, we all have these same daily choices. We all have choices to rest in and take steps of faith in the promises of God. But when we don't, and we bypass His plan for us, His promise for us, and depend on our flesh, like Abraham, we suffer consequences, just like he suffers consequences. You know what? We can't subvert his promise by thinking we can help him. We can't help God along. God doesn't need our help, brothers and sisters. Just depend on him and let rest in him and let him work it out by faith. I've always said for my many years as a Christian, 30, now going to be 31 for me, I've always tried never to jump ahead of God and rush to dependence on flesh. I've always said, let's wait and take a step back and see God work. And brothers and sisters, I think that's wise, because every time I've done that, he's worked out his promise in my life in a time frame, which in his timing, which is wonderful in my life. He did that. Amen. I encourage you to do the same. Now, in the long run, he worked it out for Ishmael and Hagar, and he blessed them. So he did help them along too, brothers and sisters. But now let's go further along with the promise. Now, imagine now, 14 years after Ishmael is born, Abraham's 100 years old, Ishmael's about 14, and Sarah is 90. 25 years have passed since the promise was given to Abraham. 25 years. Now, finally, Sarah is going to conceive a child. But she still had doubt. Genesis 17:7. And he saw Abraham. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? He's still doubting. You know what? 25 years have gone by. The Lord answers it. 19 and 21 of chapter 17. But God said, no. But Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son. You shall call his name Isaac. And he will establish a covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him, will make him fruitful, will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year. Jump ahead, chapter 18 of Genesis 11 to 14. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. And even here, she laughed to herself. She still doubts too. After I have become old, shall I have pleasure in my Lord being so old? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I'm so old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? No, it's not, brothers and sisters. But at the appointed time, I will return next year, and Sarah will have a son. And finally, we jump to Genesis 21, 1 to 3. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he promised. Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Brothers and sisters, 25 years passed and the promise was fulfilled. Our timing isn't God's timing. 25 years. That's a long time in our economy, but not in God's economy. It's a second for God. It's a minute for God. 25 years for us, brothers and sisters. You know what? God wants us to depend on his promises. He wants us to depend on Christ in us as our life. But our flesh is always pulling us away from the promises of God, thinking we can do better, add to, or we can subvert God's promise by adding something in our own resource. Brothers and sisters, God doesn't need us. Depend on him, trust in him, and say to the Lord, Lord, is this a decision I'm going to make here going forward from my flesh? Or is it something your spirit is directing me to do? We can always rest in this wonderful promise. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. You can hang your hat on this. Always. Romans 8:28. For we know that God causes all things to work together to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. We can always hang our hat on that promise. God works out all things. Think about your life. As you progress through life, have you seen things that seem horrible at one point or difficult or a trial? And then you go back years later and say, you know what? Now I understand that. God worked it out for the best. God worked it out to show me I had areas of self-dependence and depending on flesh and not on him. God works that all the time, brothers and sisters, in his timing, in his plan. That's a promise he makes in Romans 8:28 to everyone who is a child of God. Amen? Amen. But there's consequences to faithless choices. In Abraham's case, issues with his family, but then there's also conflict and issues today from his decision back 4,000 years ago. And we still have that issue today. If you jump ahead just to the New Testament, it shows you this, and it tells you this in Galatians 4:29. But at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. So it is now also. What is Paul saying back when he wrote Galatians in the first century? The conflict that started between Ishmael, who he's representing as the flesh here, a choice of the flesh, and those according to the Spirit, which is Isaac, the promise, there's persecution. Those born according to the flesh, Ishmael, is persecuting those born to the Spirit, which is Isaac. So what that's saying there is the Ishmael descendants are in conflict with Isaac's descendants. We can sum it up and say the Muslim descendants of Ishmael are in conflict with the Jewish descendants of Isaac. You see, there's a consequence to a decision. That decision by Sarah and Abraham led to this, and that conflict is still with us today, brothers and sisters, in the Middle East. This constant conflict between those nations and those peoples. Brothers and sisters, that was predicted and spelled out in the scriptures, all because of that one faithless decision. Brothers and sisters, we all have choices. Faithless choices. Don't make faithless choices. Make faithful choices to depend and wait on the promises of God. You know, Genesis 14:18-14 in conclusion says this. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? No. Does he need our help? No. Can we add to his promise? No. Brothers and sisters, just depend on him. Watch him work. Let him fulfill his promises in your life. We need it so much today as we're going through this pandemic, brothers and sisters. We need dependence on him and him fulfill his promises in our life. We need to rest in them. Rest in his promises, brothers and sisters. But flesh is something that we all have, and we pray, and we should all be praying that the Lord will reveal to us areas of self-dependence and independence in our lives, which is not depending on him. Because there's a conflict. Flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit is desire against the flesh. What are we choosing? What should we be choosing? We should be choosing to rest and take faith, steps of faith in the promises of God every day and to see him work. And when we do that, brothers and sisters, God works in miraculous ways in your life and through your life to those around your life. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful way to live the Christian life as we wait to be with him in eternity. This is what the Lord wants us to do. Not to make faithless choices, but to make faithful choices in the promises of God. Where are you placing your trust? Where is your faith? What's your faith in? Brothers and sisters, thousands and thousands of promises in the scriptures. Place your faith in them, and let's see, and let's watch how God works, amen, in his timing. Brothers and sisters, that's the life of Abraham, and that's many of our choices too. I've been made bad choices in our life too. But the Lord will always work it out in the end. Amen. Trust him. Rely on him. Depend on him. Look at his promises, and he works out all things. Amen. I'm going to close this in prayer, and we'll see you next time. Bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for Abraham and his example, his choices. I pray, Lord, that we would just disregard the tendencies of our flesh to draw us away from depending on you, and you would expose those areas to us as we live, as we move forward this year and moving forward in our lives, that we would depend on you, in your promises, and we would wait and watch and see you work, because you do work out all things for the good. Thank you for this time. Speak to the hearts of those listening to me today. Penetrate their hearts to depend on you for life. Thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.